But there are things changing that are made on the websites, and kind of question, so maybe we'll go just to see.
There we go, it is 5:00, welcome. I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting. It is Tuesday, January 8th, and we are at the authority headquarters. January 7th, thank you. And we are at the authority headquarters. I'll call the roll. Cameron Bogus.
Here.
Tom Donahue.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
For the record, Sean Carlton is not with us, and Tom Donahue is via telephone. Item 3, I'd like to introduce our new authority manager, Kirk Medina, who comes all the way from Colorado and is on his second day of the job. We'd like to welcome you.
Thank you.
And is there anything that you'd like to say at this point? Or?
Sure. I've been here officially two days this week, and already starting to figure out that this place, this community, is very welcoming. And my wife and I are very grateful to become a part of this community. This is also where you want me to describe some of my history? Or?
If you'd like, whatever you'd like to say.
Sure. So, just so that you know, I did have some qualifications before I was hired. I started my career in Pueblo, Colorado, and I worked for the Pueblo Board of Water Works. It was a city of about 80,000 people at that time, and I was fresh out of high school, knew nothing about water treatment, but they needed a water treatment plant operator to work the graveyard shift. And I just happened to have experience working in the newspaper's mailroom on the graveyard shift. So I did meet that one qualification, and that's all it took back then. But things have changed. And I went on, I worked in Denver for about 12 years. Most of my technical experience really developed when I worked at an advanced wastewater treatment plant. It was called potable water reuse demonstration plant. And this was back in the 80s, but they were actually demonstrating, Denver Water and US EPA were demonstrating that wastewater could be directly used for potable water consumption. So I gained a great deal of technical experience there, and I moved on to work for Denver Water and Distribution Engineering for a while. I then later went to Nevada, started up a water treatment plant in Henderson, Nevada, and ultimately worked for 15 years as the utility manager for the city of North Las Vegas. About 5 years ago, I went back to Colorado Springs, which was near Pueblo, where my mom still resides, and my sister was able to spend some time with them. And then I saw an opportunity to come out here. My wife is a native Hawaiian, so she says, if you could get us near the ocean, I would leave in a heartbeat. And so that's how we ended up here. And she's been here for 2 days. I spent about 4 days in December working with Tony Owen and got familiar with this operation. And I can assure you what I witnessed was that all of the infrastructure and the facilities that are in place here are going to serve our community well. I think everything is in place for us to run a successful water and sanitation authority. I also want to point out that the staff, from what I've observed already, are extremely motivated and helpful and knowledgeable. I think we have everything in place so that we could serve the community well, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you.
I'd like to say that two things. A, we're welcome to have you.
Great.
We need somebody in your capacity to run our little help around our little city. And the second thing is, I hope your wife's happy close to the ocean and that she hasn't put her foot in it yet.
No, she hasn't.
Larry served on our board for a number of years.
I appreciate your service.
All right. Item 4A, minutes of the December 3rd, 2019 business meeting. Any comments or corrections?
Not hearing any, I'll move that we approve the minutes for the December 3rd, 2019 business meeting.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes of the December 3rd, 2019 business meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Tom. Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Item 5, financial report. Item 5A, accounts payable for December 3rd, December 15th, and December 31st of 2019. Any questions on the payables?
I have a couple.
Shoot, Tom, go ahead.
December 3rd, there is a $4,586.20 debit to TLC Federal Credit Union. What was that for?
It's our monthly payment on a loan.
Okay. Also, on December 15th, we have two payments of $380 to the Legislative Council. What legislature are we talking about here?
It's the state of Oregon. It's the books that we get every other year on the Oregon statutes.
Okay.
What would be the revisions?
One $300 comes out of water operating, and one $300 comes out of sewer operating. So that's why they're two separate $300 checks.
Yeah. So those are revision statutes that we have to stay up to date?
I understand. Okay. I also had one last thing. December 31st, two checks for $140 to Coyote Gardens.
Coyote Gardens takes care of the maintenance here at the plant of the gardening.
Oh, okay. I didn't recognize it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tom.
That's all I have.
All right. If that's all, I'll move. We approve the accounts payable for December 3rd, December 15th, December 31st, 2019.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for December 3rd, December 15th, and December 31st of 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Item 5B, fiscal year report for 1920. Any questions at this time? And I usually say for the authority manager, but I'm going to say for the authority manager and Michelle at this point.
Thank you.
Any questions, Cameron? Tom?
No.
Okay. Ann?
No.
All right. I do have one comment on the fiscal year report, and that is that I'm happy to see that we're about halfway through our fiscal year. I measure that by the streetlights and how much we have percentage left and where everything else should be, and it looks like we're running along with our budget really well again this year.
I've got a question as far as streetlights. I mean, I've called in some of the streetlights that are bad, but, I mean, is it PUD that'll come through and check them regular? Or
no, we have to call. Somebody has to call us. We get the poll number. We call PUD.
Okay, because there's several that are out.
But they're not all owned by us. Some are personal.
Right.
Some individuals pay for their own.
But when they're on a PUD poll?
Nope.
No.
Even then, some are paid personally. Mm.
So you call Michelle? Or Michelle.
We look it up.
And then they look it up and they tell you whether it's a private one or or they can phone in a problem.
Okay.
Great. All right, thank you. Item 6, the manager's report.
Okay. Oh, a few things that weren't documented in the report that was provided to the board previously. One is that I wanted to point out that I've already talked about the time I worked here in December, got familiar with staff, and saw what was available, so I won't expand on that anymore. I want to also point out that one of our upcoming concerns immediately will be to report to the state who the responsible operators in charge are going to be. So we're working that through this week. We'll report that to the state. On the wastewater side, I don't have the certifications that are required for that. And so Ray Browning, I believe, will be stepping up to take on those additional responsibilities. I also, on the water side, Leonard, I know he's got the certifications required for that, and I still need to talk to him about taking on some additional responsibilities. Now, once I transfer my water certifications to Oregon from Colorado and Nevada, I think I'd be a suitable backup to those. So, with that said, Ray Browning and I had a meeting yesterday, and he actually went over with me a form that described how our wastewater treatment plant is classified. And we submitted that report to the state yesterday, and we're moving in the right direction. Okay. So we don't anticipate any change in classifications here.
Okay, thanks.
So as far as your, like, your certs, how long will it look to probably get things rolling as far as from Colorado to Oregon?
So Oregon, my water certification should be a matter of a couple of months. Provided everything goes smoothly. Worst case, I could test for those. On the wastewater side, though, I don't have the number of years experience necessary to get certified at the level of this plant, which is a wastewater treatment plant class 3. So we're certainly going to rely on staff to fulfill that function.
Okay.
But back to your question, to finally answer it, it would take me at least 2 more years of working here, and the difficulty is I'd have to show that I'm working as an operator full-time, and I'm not really working as an operator full-time. So that's probably not something that will happen quickly on the wastewater side, contrary to the water treatment side. So. And that's all I have to report.
Okay. Item 7A, unfinished business, wastewater treatment plant improvement. Do we have any new information there?
No, it's still at rural development, waiting for approval of the last two change orders.
Okay.
We have Kirk and I have a meeting with them tomorrow on the phone, see where we're at in that process. As soon as they've approved, then MSI comes back and finishes up the last two projects.
And part of that discussion is also the time frame of which rural development is going to take a look at. My understanding of that time frame, Tony, had been in discussions about extending that.
As far as the completion date?
From September to December of this
year. Oh, yeah. I don't know. They're actually just looking at the change orders and the original final date tomorrow. Right. That's still questionable.
Okay. Thank you. All right, 7B, sewer connection policy. That is we've discovered that our ordinance for sewer connection needs a modification, and that because it is an ordinance, that means we'll have to go through a public process, which will include public meetings and, I believe, a hearing.
Correct.
With that, before we can make that edit. And that the edit to the ordinance has to do with an update of DEQ language a number of years ago, but we only became aware of it because of a particular question by a customer. And so we'll move forward in that process. One thing I had just thought about with regards to that particular ordinance, have we looked thoroughly at that ordinance, and is there anything else in there that might need
updating? We haven't. We should.
So that we don't have to do it 2 times around.
Right, and it won't be a full new ordinance. It'll just be an amendment to
right,
it.
Right.
But I can send out copies to the board if they want to look at the whole ordinance.
Okay. I think that might be
pages.
Worth
80 pages.
Yeah, I think that was when the
it's
joint.
The original ordinance from inception of the joint.
Okay.
Okay.
But so, I think that even if we didn't read all 80 pages, we've got 5 sets of eyes
right.
looking on it in addition to you and
to more expert eyes
yeah.
looking at it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
It's probably time to take a look.
Yeah. And I can commit to the board that I will review that carefully and provide any input that
great.
I think I can
great.
To review.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. All right. Item 7C. Website update. Michelle?
Thanks. I sent out a link to the latest update to the website. I've already heard a little bit of input. Of course, it doesn't have all the detail behind each page because we don't want to go any further until we have a consensus that it's liked and it's workable and easier and concise. And so I'm actually asking for input from the board, whether to go forward or not.
I have a question.
Yes, Tom.
Does our website have its own server, or is it connected to other parts of our network?
No, it's not on our server. It's being hosted by someone else.
Well, it's an interactive website, so how does it interact with our network? When we have questions sent in, that sort of thing?
Oh, so it's out there in a cloud platform where people can ask questions, and we will have the, Rochelle and I are going to take a training class, and we will be able to update through the cloud to that website.
I see, thank you.
Yes.
Any additional feedback on what you think about it, Tom?
No, it looks like it will work fine for now.
Did you feel pretty confident in the stuff that well, they've...
Yeah, I'm confident in the detail and the pages. There are some tweaking because we don't have the layers yet, but I'm after an overall, and I've heard one not as positive, so I'm actually asking for... anything you have, likes or dislikes.
Did you get a look at it?
Yeah, I did, but I'm not a big...
And you know, a lot of people aren't, so yeah. your opinion is particularly important that way.
Just as long as it's easy for you guys to get in there and be able to tweak whatever you need to do, that accessibility of changing anything...
Vice Chair Price has offered to come in and go through the pages.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, I had some concerns I shared with Michelle separately, but some of them were more from the visual standpoint. I didn't feel like it was quite as inviting and clear as the one we have now. But I went down into a lot of the tabs, and like Michelle already said, a lot of the information is sort of made up because you don't want to spend a whole lot of time building the thing if you're not going to use it. So, but I would be make myself available to do that with Michelle individually. We could just go page by page and talk about each one. I tried to make notes on the pages, but I even got lost in doing that by myself. So she and I thought maybe that'd be better use of time. So we'll do that at some point. We set up soon.
I'm really liking the fact that we're going to have board access online and that the files will. I asked Michelle if we could have our files set up not only meeting minutes but agendas. Projects that we've been working on, have things organized according to projects, have history, so that if we have a question in a meeting and we've got an iPad or a phone in front of us, we can reference that right here and now, and it all looks the same to everybody. I say, well, now go over to this folder and take a look at that document. Because right now, my folder system for PCJDM and trying to cross-reference things it's hard to find all the data that you need for any particular time, you know, or any particular project. And the website's not going to solve all that because there's things that are based in email or things that are embedded in other websites that we coordinate with and that we have to do with. And it's just, how do we organize information? And I think this update to the webpage is not only going to be great for us as board members and managing the information, but also really great for the public because we're going to be able to put more and different information out there.
Well, the nice thing about it, we were talking about the revisions for the houses and how our connections are, and then it would be nice for that information to be able to pull it up instead of
Exactly.
The history.
So I'm really pleased with the progress, and I know that it's a work in progress, and that there's just a huge, it's a huge job to
build.
That it isn't going to be perfect, but it will definitely be improvement over what we've had. And we'll just keep moving in that direction.
Just hope that you guys can get in there and tweak it.
And anytime, Michelle, you want to send us out a link and want feedback, please don't hesitate to, I'd be happy to help where we can. All right. Item 8A, we need to appoint the budget officer for the fiscal year 2021. And it, go ahead, Ann.
I was going to say that recognizing that Kirk has pretty extensive experience in this area in his last position and from other positions, but with respect to the fact that the budget preparation cycle begins at this point, really, and he's on his second day on the job, and recognizing that Michelle has extensive experience preparing the budget here at PCJWSA, is not to mention particular expertise in that area, I'd like to, with her agreement, nominate Michelle as the budget officer for the 2021 budget cycle. The assumption being, of course, that Michelle and Kirk would work extremely closely together in that process.
That won't be a problem.
So, I didn't think so.
Yeah, boy, did you feel the train go through Michelle?
No, I got Rochelle. That's all I need right now.
Yeah.
All right, so this is an appointment.
That was a nomination.
Nomination for the appointment.
I second
you said
yes.
That. Tom, any comments from you?
None.
Okay, then I would... we've got a nomination and a second to appoint Michelle Hughes as our budget officer for fiscal year 2021. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
None against, and we have appointed Michelle Hughes as our budget officer for 2021. Yay. Thank you, Michelle.
And Michelle.
Yes. Item 8B. Resolution 19-8, Agent of Record. That was in your packets, I believe?
Yes.
So this is a resolution in the matter of designating an agent of record and designating a registered office, both required by ORS relative to the designations of the Secretary of State and Tillamook County Clerk. Any questions or concerns? All right. I'll
move that we approve Resolution 19-08 in the matter of designating an agent of record and designating registered office.
Office. I'd like to second that.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve Resolution number 19-08 in the matter of designating an agent of record and designating registered office. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion for the resolution passes, and thank you, Kirk Medina. You are now our official registered agent for PCJWSA.
Happy to do it.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
We were counting on that.
Yeah.
Item 8C, Senate Bill 479, the harassment policy. Michelle, do you want to introduce this since you worked with it the most?
The state legislature, because of some very poignant issues that they had in their own house last year, passed a law effective January 1st, 2020, that the harassment laws of Oregon had to be in more detail and more finite, and made it mandatory for all state, local, community agencies to take this policy on. We have an attorney that already had worked with another agency who sent us a copy of this policy. We made the modifications to it to make it pertinent to PCJWSA, and we'd like to amend our employee handbook with this policy.
Thank you. Discussion?
I like it. I'd like to make a motion that...
Hey, let me see if we've got... Tom, any comments?
It's my understanding that this policy only changed a few things from our original harassment policy. Could you point those out, Michelle?
Not right off the top of my head, Tom. I did read both policies, but I can't go line item by line item right at this moment. But I can tell you that this is more detailed.
Yeah, because ours...
Can I send you an email with that information?
Pardon me?
Can I send you an email with that information?
Thank you. That'd be fine.
Okay.
Because our other one, isn't it just one page? And this
it's longer than one page, but it's not four.
Right.
I noticed that there were a couple of comments on the policy regarding written policies and procedures for maintaining the work, maintaining records in the workplace and so forth, and I assume we either have those or we're going to be putting that together.
Mm-hmm.
So do we already have that?
We have policy on records in the workplace. As far as, are you talking about the harassment records?
Yes.
They would be in the office, not in an HR department, and that's one of the changes we made to this policy, because we don't have a formal HR. But we've already had that in our policy.
Okay.
If I'm correct, it's subtle behaviors that were not in the original policy.
In the original description, not anything with regards to our policies and procedures of how we keep things and so forth.
I'm sorry.
In other words, the new language as required by the state that we're looking at adopting does not affect our policies and procedures already in place with regards to handling harassment.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So we're not looking. We don't need any more new policies or procedures to take care of.
Correct.
Okay. And this is a law that we're expected to have in place this month?
We were expected to have it in place yesterday.
Yesterday, okay. So we need to move on that tonight. All right, so this is a amendment to the employee handbook.
Correct.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept amendment to the workplace harassment policy.
Section of the employee handbook, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded that we amend our employee policy manual with this latest workplace harassment document that was included with our board packet. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Appreciate your work on that, Michelle. Okay. Item 9, guest questions and comments. Marie.
Thank you. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Marie Heinberg, and I'm currently serving on the Nestucca Valley Community Alliance board, and here to represent a question to all of you. As you know, we have a 45-year renewable lease with TLW, which is Tillama Light Grid. And NDCA has permission from TLW to connect the water and the sewage from their existing system. And because of our adjoining 2.3 acres that we are leasing, that is their property. And so this was discussed with Tony, and it was brought up by another board member probably a year or so ago. And Tony had provided NBCA with an estimate of $8,000 to connect the systems from TLW's side to the leased piece. NBCA would appreciate if your board would consider waiving this fee for connection or reducing the fee. And I understand that this will take discussion amongst you and a decision may be delayed. Also in the past, Tony has provided us with letters of support for ongoing grant submissions. We will be submitting a TLT facility grant that is due February 7th, and it would be applicable because the grant at this point is for the infrastructure and making sure that we get that all put in. And our hopes are that we will get the playground and the skate park started by the summer.
So the grant, just to make sure I understand, the grant that you're talking about with the TLT facilities would be starting on the playground and the skate park, or those are two?
Okay,
or
so
grant would be some other kind of infrastructure.
Yeah, the skate park itself from the Longboard Association has, you know, saved approximately $85,000. So we're ready to, and then we also have just applied for other skate park specific. Tony, I can't remember the last name, but there are dollars just specific for that, and then there's another grant for playground, which is separate from the TLT grant. The TLT grant, facility grant, is very specific to facilities that are providing for tourists, especially off season, but also addressing infrastructure
that serves tourists,
and you know, one of the
things, so what would the infrastructure proposal be specifically for the TLT grant?
It would be to get the water and sewage, you know, connected, but also run all of the water lines all the way through, curb sidewalks. At this point, the money, it's going to cost without the pavement, it's approximately $145,000 for that piece. But so we only are going to apply for, we're only allowed to apply for $75,000.
Yes. And I'm sorry to keep going back.
No,
I'm I'm not following.
Okay.
The TNT facility grant you mentioned would be for water sewer. So you're talking about infrastructure, laying pipe to carry water and sewer. To its various destinations
along with all the conduit for the electricity is supposed to go through. You know, as Gloria always said, if you're going to build a subdivision, you're not going to build the houses first and put the infrastructure later. So this is a priority.
Okay, thanks.
Michelle, you want to add to this?
No, I have a question regarding this. I don't know of any conversation that you have with Tony, but it's been PCJWSA policy that we will lay the water and sewer lines in the roads to the properties, but anything done on a piece of property is not we do not do that. We do not go past the property lines. We do not work on private properties.
Okay, so
Were you suggesting that PCJ would be laying that pipe?
Well, that because was our understanding that we would...
No,
not to lay the pipe, I'm sorry. Just to come to bring the water and the sewage from TLW side to our park side.
That's still private property.
Okay, so then we don't have to have anything done.
Not from us.
Okay.
Would it not be a separate connection because it's a separate organization and
it's on the same tax lot. Mm-hmm.
And it would be TLW pays the bill no matter who uses it.
Right.
That's between them and TLW,
and
right?
And we've agreed on that.
Yeah.
So, are you required to lay all the sewage on the other side if we were to get it connected?
I think we need to separate a couple of issues here.
Thank you.
First, there are SDCs, which are fees that
we
charge to have people hook up to water sewer.
Right.
And since that property is owned by one person and you're leasing a section of it,
yes,
and that property already has water and sewer,
right,
those fees would not be charged again
applicable
from us to that particular property owner.
That's great.
If that property owner is wanting you to be metered differently, then there would be the need for a second meter on that property, and that PCJWSA would have some requirements regarding that meter, and I believe you have to buy the meter from PCJWSA.
Okay.
But again, that would have to all be initiated by the property owner.
Okay.
It sounds like they have an agreement.
And you know, whatever agreement you have, and it just takes them initiating it or having a letter from them that says that's what you want.
But
so
it may be a benefit to have a separate meter, and I'll have that discussion
with them. Some people do, some people don't. So at this point, I don't think that we see that there are any fees that we would impose differently, because it is a single property owner that already has water sewer hooked up to the property.
Thank you very much. And if I need a letter of support, or can I still,
for the grant?
For grants,
Mr. Owen did do that in the past.
Yeah, we would be happy.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Next, Robin, you had your hand up.
Yes, I wanted to welcome you, Mr. Medina. I don't know if I should call you Kurt or...
Either way, Kurt is just fine.
Okay, I thought I better ask first. We're very much looking forward to working with you. I have lived here full-time for the past 20 years, but I'm relatively new compared to some people like Mr. Dill here. I live up in PC Heights, which I'm sure you'll become familiar with, because that's where the two of our reservoirs are.
Yeah, the 300,000 gallon reservoir?
Right, and the 600,000.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I did have a question. You know, I was going to ask you about your family, because I was surprised there wasn't anything in the article. Is he married? Does he have any kids?
Yeah, I'm married with two dogs. Our kids are all raised. Okay. So, but thanks for asking. And my wife is thrilled to be here as well. And so far, we just feel like we belong here. And I hope I can contribute to the community as much as I see others contribute.
Is it hard for your wife coming from Hawaii?
What was rough is I met her in Las Vegas.
Okay.
So for some reason, they went from Hawaii to the driest place on earth.
They love Las Vegas.
They
Hawaiians
do.
Love
yes.
Las Vegas.
And so much of our family is still in Las Vegas. We have a son in Las Vegas with a granddaughter there. And then we have other kids that have moved to Tennessee. My mom and my sister are only relatives left in Colorado. This looks like the type of place we'd like to retire in eventually. And
not just yet.
No, I'm in no hurry for that.
Do you have a house, or are you?
We're still looking, and I have been through your neighborhood looking for houses.
And there is a house across the street that my neighbor friend is going to be up for sale. It's a 2-bedroom. It was
definitely
built last year.
We'll look into that. Yes.
You'd be a great neighbor.
I feel welcome here, and like I said, I hope that we can contribute a great deal.
I have one other question. What did you guys decide on a beginning salary? You talked 85 to 125,000.
I don't think we can talk.
It's public record, but you need to make that as a request, and I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
No problem.
But yeah, that's available. Yes,
My name is Mike Dill. I've been here for 41 years. I live in a little place called Woods, which is a kind of a little offshoot from Pacific City, kind of a separate community almost. But,
yeah.
I have a master's in computer science, and I've built teaching systems, learning systems, and testing systems. And so I've worked with people like Bonneville and Pacific Core, and so a lot of government agencies. So I like to kind of kibitz in anywhere around teaching systems, learning systems, so I've done a lot of map work. I was on the board of the Tillamook Watershed Resource Center, and so for about 4 years too. So we kind of combined all the watersheds of Tillamook, and so I'm kind of connected to the watershed group here also, here in town. So we're kind of, I look at things from more of a watershed perspective, but I like maps, I like display systems, and I can usually kind of offer into that a little bit.
Okay.
So I want to get together and start doing some teaching grants, and I've got some new teaching grants to the community,
new to the water and sanitation system. The maps are extremely valuable for someone that comes in and needs to learn the system. So staff has been able to go over some maps with me, and I look forward to discussing maps with you in the future as well.
Okay. Yeah, so welcome.
Thank you.
My wife is also Hawaiian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how you knew about Las Vegas.
Oh, I know all about Hawaiians, man.
Any other? Yes, Bud.
Just a question to follow up from what Marie mentioned. I know we've run into this in residential areas where people are adding housing, or you know, adding housing or making a duplex out of a single home, and the strategy here seems to be you got two homes on the property, you got to have two hookups. That's what people are told. And I got no problem with that. That's okay. But is this anything that needs to be considered in this, what will eventually be quite an increase in water and sewer demand? Was the original hookup big enough to cover that? And if not, would there perhaps have to be consideration for a second hookup and then the charges and how that's set up?
That's a good point, that usage on that property, if it were to exceed a certain amount, would require some investigation into that. I believe now there is just one bathroom and one bathroom on that property.
So if that was what it was built for and the pipe was so much diameter and so forth, like we run into other places, that might have to be re-examined, and possibly a second hookup to, if you're going to like build four or five bathrooms and have a lot of usage.
I would guess that might be an issue if it got to be 5 or 6, but the standard size line is 3/4 inch, and that seems to be adequate for a number of these large homes. So
I'm not sure where that would go, but it's going to be looked at, actually.
Michelle,
okay.
Michelle, she's shaking her head right now.
I would just add, is Marie gone?
Yes.
Yeah.
She left. I was on the NBCA board when the plan was designed for what would be on that property, and of course I don't have it committed every detail to memory, but as I recall, it was just basically two bathrooms, one for men and one for women, in a building that would serve as a kind of classroom area, kind of public use building. But it was going to be very, very small scale as far as water use, and that was part of the discussion at the time. Of course, at that time, we weren't talking about about TLW and the water line and all that kind of business, but if that helps your thinking about what the design is. You can probably see the design if you go on Nestucca Valley Community Alliance's website. I'm sure they have a mock-up of the design there that would show that detail too, and as far as I recall, there are no kitchen facilities or anything like that called for.
I just didn't want to get them thinking it's not going to cost anything when the examination of what the usage increase will be.
Right. Good point.
In total, might actually cause some additional costs. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
So, what's a county plumbing permit for this unit?
That's up to the county, not us.
Well, but I'm just saying, if you provide the water, if he does this, then he has to comply to that?
Yes.
So they'll dictate how much water line you can have and everything else, I would think.
There is a zoning issue and a plumbing issue with regards to the county, and then there's PCJWC on top of that. And hopefully we all talk about it at the right time. Any other comments? Yes, Larry.
I have a couple of very minor comments. Not that I always pay attention to small details, but as far as I know, the year now is 2020. And on your wall, you show it's December of 2019. Please change the goddamn calendar.
That's coming down right after the meeting.
Watch your language, sir. We'll get a new calendar.
There is one hanging right behind it.
It's right
there. Oh,
it is.
Okay.
You know what?
Thanks, Leonard.
I can take that real quick.
Yeah, it's, I know it's only a matter of a few days.
Now.
That's much better.
We haven't been in here since January. Or since December. Yes, next
so, the next thing is, last year, which was a number of months ago, I commented about the very nice PCJWSA sign we had next to the highway. But I complained that I'm color deficient. There's some colors I can't read. And so Tony said, well, the color schemes that they showed them initially weren't the ones that they had it painted on. The sign disappeared, and it's still not back.
It hasn't disappeared. It
blew. So my question is everybody going to go back up again, or did I condemn this sign to the woodpile?
I'm sorry, Larry, you didn't condemn it to the woodpile. Evidently, if I understand correctly, there were some issues with getting the proper hardware for our climate out here, and I believe that hardware is in now, and in as soon as we have appropriate staffing and things get settled down a little bit more, I believe the sign will be going back up. Is that correct, Michelle?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing
it. And I think it's been repainted?
No.
No.
It might be the same.
So if you're
still
down,
just going to have to know what it says.
It takes two or three times to blow
it. We got one sold, but not the next one at this point.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I guess I would comment. I don't know that I have any particular color problems, but I would second that motion that the colors that were ended up on the map, on the sign make it very difficult to read what it says, especially if you just drive by.
Now, are we eventually they're working to go with a color scheme of paint scheme like Tillamook is doing of our?
Oh, are you talking about the
yes
parking or the master? Cape Kiwanda Master Plan.
Right.
Because there's a lot of talk about wayfinding and signage, and right, it's all connected through various things having to do with the county, none of which are specific to
yeah
us. So, but I can't, I've been part of several of those discussions, but I haven't seen the final product yet. So, but I know there's discussion underway about coordinating signs and the look and having things be less confusing at
right
some of the intersections and
overly signing.
Yeah,
and,
so we're all
yes
going to stay tuned for progress.
So
yes,
it'll
in that
probably
area
probably change. Possibility.
Just to clarify things, I have no intent whatsoever to file a lawsuit because of my disability and not be able to see certain colors, and then you chose funny colors for the sign. No intent whatsoever.
Larry, we're forever grateful. Yes, another question.
Okay, so I talked to Michelle about our I don't know what you want to call it, our
tax levies.
Master plan?
Master plan. And, you know, last year, 10 years ago, we had two companies do it. Now she's saying we're only going to have one company to do it.
Oh.
No, that's not what I said. Let me rephrase that. We have one engineer that does the master plan for us.
Okay.
We also have a financial advisor that helped us with, helped Parametrics and billed us separately for the SDC portion of that. They will probably have another financial advisor help them again. And it's probably in the quote of the 200 and some thousand.
Michelle is correct. When we did the master plans in 05, it was 05, we contracted, PCJWSA contracted separately with the engineer and the financial advisor because the financial advisor had worked with us before on some other issues. That financial advisor retired several years ago. So the new master plan scope of work calls for Parametrics to supervise the financial advisor, and it is a person that they've used in projects like this before. And that is included in that quote, in that scope of work.
Okay. So some of the stuff they have in here goes up to 2022. What they recommend?
He's got the 2009 update.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay. And again, Michelle said it was really hard to figure out what's been done and what hasn't been done to know the scope of it, if we need to pick any of this stuff back up with the new one.
Well, that doesn't quite sound like Michelle would say that, so let me ask her.
No, no, it is true. He asked me of all the projects that were on the original 2005 master plan. I do not know how many. He asked me a percentage of how many were completed or not. I honestly do not know. I also know that the 2020 master plan that they are working on, they are basically starting from scratch. This is a new plan, not a revision.
So if that is correct. So if you were to take a look at the 2005 master plan or the 2009 update to that, the projects that the engineers identified separately didn't necessarily follow how the work got done.
Sure.
And so it takes a lot of time to go back to those original big spreadsheets and try to figure out exactly what is and what is not according to projects. So rather than us do that work, we know that we need new master plans in order to help us set clear priorities now that we have Horn Creek in place and the wastewater treatment upgrade done. We know that we have completed a number of those pieces on that, but it doesn't make sense for us to go back and itemize those off when the engineers are in the middle of providing that information, new information for us based on where we are currently.
And that would also include the airport lift station also.
The airport lift station has been completed. If you were to read through that, you can pretty much begin to put things with things that would be included in a project. But it's to go back and do that and then compare that with prices, it's kind of difficult to do, especially since those numbers in that 2005 plan are 2005 prices.
Well, yeah, no problem there. I just didn't want to skip it and start the new plan and not pick up the things that we didn't.
They will, anything that needs done with regards to water sewer will be in that new plan.
Okay.
The engineers are very good at doing that. Thank you, though. That's a good question. Yes.
And right along that line, too, if you do a scope of projects on those projects, on that spreadsheet, you say which ones are completed, when did they get completed, how much did they cost, did the cost that they came to, did that equal the cost that they were estimated at? This gives you, as you do your new master plan, this gives you a really good projection of whether those numbers were correct, whether their projections were correct, and really how well you're doing as far as a projection. It's a documentation issue,
that's so true, as long as there aren't moving parts.
But you've been moving along a 15-year process, you know.
Well, here's my challenge, maybe. Mike, is that a project that was estimated for a price in 2005 doesn't go on a straight line up to 10 years later in terms of its cost because of the construction cost index and changes in
it. Doesn't matter if it's correct or not. It just, or if it needs projections, it doesn't really matter. It just matters what you estimated it at that point and what it finally came into when the project completed. And so
why is that important?
It's a historical documentation process, and it's really one that I think this board should pay attention to their history and how much these projects are costing and if we're, you know, going along the right path, because that's a way to analyze what you've done in the past.
Well, wouldn't that show up on all our budget?
It's very complex.
If each project is singled out,
it makes it a lot easier.
I think we're kind of talking about two different things as you bring up that point. So a project that was given a number of cost in 2005, say we didn't do that project until 2015, we're going to get a scope on that particular project, an estimation of cost.
Right.
And when we get that estimation of cost, then we're going to watch very closely that we stay within that budget.
That parameter.
But we're not watching closely to stay within the 2005 budget. We're looking to stay under the budget that the project was estimated when we went to work on it.
Sure.
But at the same time, those estimates, those long-range those estimates given in the master plan do help you set priorities and begin to think about where your resources are coming
right.
from. So those
sure.
are important too. Any other questions? Yes, go ahead.
My name is Kevin Spuka. My wife and I have Coyote Gardens, and I was here specifically to ask. We own the piece of property there at the end of BT Bridge on the southwest side, and we're planning on building an apartment building for primarily workforce housing there. And I think we're getting close to being ready to submit our conditional use permit application. And I was hoping that the board would provide a letter of availability based on whether or not our metrics comes through when we arrive at that place. But if that letter could be provided before the meetings in case we want to get that permit off.
I think we have for a number of projects in town called a special meeting when people are under particular deadlines and needing to get ready for things. So I know you'll keep Michelle and Kurt posted, and when it's appropriate, we'll do our best to help you do what you want to do.
Great.
So how are you going to keep the fishermen happy?
That we will provide easement so the fishermen can continue to use.
Nice.
We're moving the fishing hole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're all making the assumption there's going to be fish.
We're going to move the bridge, put in a bike bridge, and
all in jest.
All in jest.
On the record. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Any other guest questions or comments? Okay. Any director comments? Cameron?
I want to thank Kurt for accepting the position. It's been a it's been a joy going through the process of the hiring, and I mean, I've learned a lot over the years, and I know you'll be challenged and rewarded with good things. And
well, thank you, Cameron. I can't tell you how welcoming the entire board has been. So I think we made the right decision.
Well, I can't wait to meet your wife.
We hope you say that at next month's meeting.
In months to follow,
I'm sure you'll
be good.
Great.
Tom, did you have a director comment?
I just wanted to welcome Kirk. We haven't had a chance to meet yet. I've been a little under the weather here the past few months, but we will meet in the next month or two, and I just wanted to welcome you to Pacific City, and hope you enjoy your tenure here.
Thank you, Tom. I'll tell you, my head is swelling. I've been welcomed so much that I'm starting to feel important here. So I appreciate the board and you guys choosing me for the position. I can guarantee you I will work hard.
Well, don't go out and buy a new hat. So just welcome.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. It is 5:57 and we are adjourned. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Hope you're feeling better.